I'm welcoming you all. This is Lina Live. I'm Lina Mirmont, playing Chopin for all of you. And with this opening, I'd like to welcome our extraordinarily special guest, Mark Barondess. And I'd like to make some introduction before we will go into the essence of the program. Mark Barondess, I would say perhaps the best way to describe it, or close to it, speaking truth to power. And he had his tremendously diversified field of activities with his performance as a lawyer, as a human being, as a thinker, as a writer. And he was participating in the most complex cases in state and federal court issues. He was representing highly influential people with tremendously important careers. And that also is very diversified because it covers just about every human area. I like to say that Larry King probably said it in a very laconic and very expressive way. Mark Barondess, one of nation's top attorney. With all of this, Mark, I wanted to welcome you. And I'd like to, it's our collective pleasure. And I like to invite you for a totally different discussion, which indeed surprised me because it looks as if your expertise is totally endless. And I will interrupt myself and saying that my surprise and the whole country's surprise is still going on because of your fantastic ageless book, which has a wonderful title, What Were You Thinking? And that book, I felt almost like a mirror of a human soul and mind, because it's certainly concentrating and making you think, especially at the most critical points of your life, like marriage and divorce. And no wonder that you put so much wisdom and so much humanity in this book, because of your own tremendously explicit and fantastic successes in the professional and personal areas. With all of this, if I just introduced you in the 30% of your accomplishments, I would think that I succeeded. And
I'm very humbled by all your kind words.
Oh, well, no, I hope that certainly I will take this as a bridge to the subject of this program. And the subject of this program has to do with prescription drugs. We all know that it is unfortunate that medical care is going through a huge transition. We're still not very clear where and how we will be served by the system. And I thought that we will dedicate today's program of one of the branch of it, and that has to do with the prescription drugs. And the reason I thought of that is because it's also a very gray area for a number of issues. And we will discuss these issues. We hope to bring clarity and some objectivity to this challenge, and we will help a lot of people, especially elderly, with making decisions how to go about this. So I would ask a general question, Mark, just as a prelude, as a beginning. Why prescription drugs are presenting the issue in the United States?
I'm sorry, why are they, what issue in the United States?
Why prescription drugs sometimes presenting an issue for orientation and interpretation in the United States. What kind of problems attach to the use of prescription drugs?
Well, I think the genesis of the problem is the very high cost of prescription medication. There is an enormous amount of resources that must take place in order for a drug in the United States to eventually receive approval by the FDA and other branches that are necessary before they can even first be dispensed to any patient whatsoever. And it's a process that's very lengthy, easily 10 years in many instances, and there's a great expense. So when the drug is finally made available, the pharmaceutical companies are obviously seeking to recoup all of the investment that they've made into the drug, in addition to moving forward with the profits that they would achieve by selling it in the future. As a result of that, there has been an explosion of other venues outside of the United States which are making available various drugs that are supposed to meet the needs of the patients in the United States, that they can't afford the medicine, so they'll seek to get it elsewhere. The problem with that, of course, is that the medicines that have come from outside the United States in many, many instances are simply illegitimate medications that do not meet the specifications of the research facilities that have developed the drugs, and in many cases can be nothing more than powdered sugar compressed with rodent hairs and other things that are things that we don't even want to think about. So there's a big problem in terms of the importation of these other drugs, or I'll call them products, into the United States.
And that's actually a tremendous problem, which particularly hits elderly and the people whose language issues don't permit them to read, to have a very clear source of information regarding the drug. So I like to also make a little parallel here, because we're living in a times of sensationalism. And one journalist, Bill Lamb, said that there is no more breaking news. It is a marketing gimmick because it is not a quality journalism. Unfortunately, I have to say the same thing with the drugs, because often enough, there is a tremendous excitement about new drug, about some kind of a success. And then when one will go deeper, there is really not enough validity behind that announcement, behind this promise. How would you go about to find out whether the drug is legitimate, whether the drug can be obtained, and how can we connect information to actually practical use? Mark, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I lost connection with you, unfortunately. I could not hear your response, and I'm sure my listeners are also very eagerly waiting for your response, but nothing we could hear from your end. Maybe you will try to repeat it, but unfortunately this digital cyber connection is not working for us today too well. If my listeners continue to listen to me, my apology for this breaking up.
Mark? I'm back.
Yes, you're back, and you are most welcome to be back. I just explained to our listeners that the cyber connection was a little bit lacking of proper drugs, so it did not function properly. So you were saying, please continue.
Let me go back and repeat what I was attempting to convey. What I was saying was that there's no question that certain westernized civilizations, I'll just take Canada, for instance, have drugs that are clearly acceptable. They're good medicines created by pharmaceutical companies for distribution through that particular country. The issue is coming from other countries where there are medications that are fabricated under conditions that are really horrific, and they don't contain, in many instances, the very medication that the elderly, that people in financial need are trying to get and can't afford, and they pay what for medicine that may be in the United States would cost them $200 a month, they'll get for $50 a month on the internet or elsewhere. But unfortunately, for that $50, they're probably getting medication that is completely unacceptable and is not meeting their medical needs.
You know, you brought such an excellent point, and it is a huge dilemma. When I was acquainting myself with the statistic, it's really staggering difference because, for example, there is a medication which I'm trying to remember as an example. The difference in the price is $600, and the name of the medication is Abilify, and that's one of the very important semi-regular medications. So the cost, to be precise, if someone will take it from Canada online Canadian drugstore, costs $199.70 per month, when in Walgreens it's about $711.83 a month. So obviously, there is a huge difference, and unfortunately, it is just put that much more pressure on someone to investigate what you just mentioned.
Using your example, Lena, on the medicine Abilify, which, if I remember correctly, is a psychotropic medication, it's very important to the patients that need that medication. If you go to, most of these drugs are bought through the internet. That's how people get access to them. Sure, there's limited instances where people have bus trips to Canada to get medicines and things of that nature. But all in all, the major problem comes from the internet. If you go to a website, we'll just call it CanadianPharmacy.com, and I'm sure that exists, but I'm not attempting to disparage that. I'm just coming up with a name. If you go to a illegitimate company that is selling medicines that are not correct or properly manufactured, the first thing that you can tell is that if they're not requesting that you provide them with a prescription, there's almost a zero possibility that the medicine that you're getting from them is going to be as effective, if effective at all, from the medicine that you would get from a licensed pharmacy. So that's the first warning symbol that I think that all of your listeners need to be aware of.
This is fantastic, very specific recommendation, which indeed caught some of my thought in terms of going to specific sites. And I just wanted to tell my listeners that at the end of the program, please pay attention to this, I will be giving a certain reliable sites, which will be also in our company's website. And those sites you can use as a reliable source to give you security and to give you proper information about certain drugs. Mark, I also wanted to make a point. And I don't know, maybe I'm going too far with this, but I'd like to make that point and your response to this. Because of this lack of knowledge sometimes and people becoming very hopeful, there is, I would say, a self-medicating process which is terribly well spread. One of the examples is Prozac. This also very well-known medication for the depression, and it was somewhat shifting from wonder drug. Then it was somewhat condemned that even with the point that it is increasing depression. So this Prozac was dancing happy and sad in the situation. One of the overreading of this drug had to do with weight loss, because people interpreted this as a drug which will help or cure depression, and they figure out if they feel good, they will eat less. So that I think it's a tremendously important problem not to self-medicate and to get all specific information according to your own specific health condition in order to use a drug to its maximum benefits. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think, you know, while the internet has been a blessing to many with medical issues, it's also very dangerous. You have people that like to play doctor, and they can now, through these sites that are less than legitimate, go and get medicine to treat their conditions. They read an article on a good resource like WebMD or Hippocrates or one of these other sites, or the Mayo Clinic website, and they see what the various treatments are, and then they assume that that is what they should do, and they go online and buy a drug. But again, that causes a problem that there may be many conditions that are out there that are not seen by a patient that is self-diagnosing themselves. I mean, certainly there's the high cost of medicine, but in this day and age, you can go to many drug stores, whether it's CVS or Walgreens or whoever, have these minute clinics where for a low price you can go in there and see at least a nurse practitioner and get a recommendation as to medications and, more importantly, a diagnosis as to what your problem is. You may end up treating yourself with something that is not even the problem. And, again, ordering these medicines online is very dangerous when you're not getting them from a bona fide pharmaceutical outlet.
And just to confirm again and to deepen your point, I also like to come to the statistic which really made a tremendously powerful impression on me. Consumer Report of National Association of Boards of Pharmacy investigated the legitimacy of Canadian pharmaceutical outlets and drug stores and all other sale points of a medication. And from 8,300 online pharmacies, only 3% sound reliable. And that was done, I believe, on July 2011. That's a very staggering statistic. That's very scary.
Well, it is. And I can tell you,
Mark, unfortunately, we lost you again. Hopefully, you will come back and remember exactly where we've been cut off. Again, my apology to my listeners and their focus. I'm optimistic we will get our guest, Mark Barondes, back. And in this post, I wanted to take advantage and to tell to my listeners that I have a privilege and honor to have Mark Barondes as a return guest with highly important, sensitive, and relevant information, and that is a use of prescription drugs, what's legal, what's illegal, what's safe, and what is not safe. And I will check again with our engineer if we are reunited with my distinguished guest, Mark Barondes. I think we still meet the silence, and it is, I'm sure.
I'm back. I have not faded.
Oh, Mark, wonderful. So we are ignoring all these breads because the message which you're carrying is so much more important. So I just took an opportunity and I
Sure.
reintroduce you
Let
and
me
then.
go back to the point that you just made in terms of the study which shows the reliability to be such a low number for all the pharmacies that were examined. If you order, as I said, I've ordered many medicines across the board just to see what comes in the mail, and invariably, medicine that I order from Canadian pharmacies that are not licensed and not regulated typically come from India, from Thailand, from I've had Pakistan, I've had from Afghanistan medicine come, and from China, of course. It's not the real medicine. These are cheap imitations, and you can look and see even in the packaging how very different it is. I mean, medicines' names misspelled, expiration dates that make no sense. These are all very serious problems for any sick patient that needs medicine to, honestly treat their condition. So again, these are people trying to save money to get medicine, but they're actually doing more harm to themselves.
That's a tremendously puzzling panorama because we're living in a such a high end of a civilization with the research, with so much challenge and some scientific answers. And yet we are faced with this very dangerous situation. You actually described even wider picture, and you gave even more profound warning because I was realized that Canadians do sell some drugs which are made someplace else, but I didn't know that the widespread of geographic is so tremendous and so huge. So I just wanted to make sure again. That I will certainly give the sites at the end of the program, especially for people who are on a regular need for drugs. There will be sites and also will be sites on our company's website. So you will be much safer and more secure to obtain those drugs. Mark, I wanted to just to have an opportunity, since you have such extraordinarily diverse experience with just about every human performance. I called that you left no human activities behind. What is your point of view on the future of medical care? I understand it's a huge question. Just give some of your points of view.
Well, first of all, I'm very concerned as a patient about the declining number of physicians that are actually in training right now or that may be in training 5 years from now. The industry of medicine, the practice of medicine, has become so regulated and so oppressive and is so difficult with the costs that are involved in it. Not only the cost of just operating a medical practice, but also the costs that are associated with issues such as tort reform and things of that nature, where doctors are actually scared to practice certain types of medicine. And in addition to that, there's an overwhelming issue in terms of them not being paid for the work that they're doing because either problems with Medicare, Medicaid, things of that nature. There's been many cuts. So, as a patient, I'm concerned about that as a overwhelming issue. On the other hand, I think that there are so many good people that are out there that want to actually help people in the medical field, and the advances that we see each and every day in the field of medicine are just amazing. I mean, just look back over the history of the last 20 years, the accomplishments that have been made by the medical community are it's astounding that we are at the stage where we are. Medicine is also becoming more treatable in terms of through the internet. You're going to have doctors eventually, I'm sure, sitting before a computer in California operating on a patient in Africa. That the technology is all heading in those types of directions. But I think we need to do something to contain the cost of medicine and healthcare. And I don't know what the answer to that is going to be. I mean, certainly we could get into the discussion of Obamacare and things of that nature, but it's going to take some time. It's going to really take some time to sort through all of these issues.
I think to continue on your thought, it's emphasizing another fact that we are, as a patient, absolutely need to have our homework. We need to become a much more responsible and much more aware, and not to depend totally on the source of information from outside, meaning that if I go to the doctor, I need to be very well aware of my conditions, of my expectations of certain medication, of certain things which normally in the past perhaps people will come to a family doctor and family doctor will know all your history and et cetera. I think it's critically important that there is a one very troublesome reality when if patient is in a hospital, his or her family physician will not go and visit her or his being in a hospital. They cutting this off. I personally feel it's a tremendously costly decision because no better doctor will be for the patient who is his patient for quite some time. But it is what it is, and the reality is such that the patient or family members need to be aware and need to have their own list of medication, their own list of the history, and to be there for the person who needs their attention and their care. And yes, I would like to talk about Obamacare, but you're absolutely correct. It's a totally separate subject, but it's extremely relevant for all of us. I just wanted to make a little link to your book. I will be very surprised.
There's one thing I want to do before we talk about the book, and that's I want to emphasize to your listeners that while people are known to make very disparaging or negative comments about the drug companies and that how much money they make and things of that nature, drug companies are more than willing to provide patient assistance for the medicines that they develop. And I would encourage everyone to, if your doctor tells you that you need Abilify, for instance, to go to their website and specifically look for the links that talk about patient assistance programs, because those patient assistance programs will, in many instances, dramatically reduce the amount of the cost of those drugs. So I think it's very important that you take the time
Absolutely fantastic critical point, and I will I did make a note of your comment, and it will go along with the list of the sites which I will be providing on our company's website, and this is very encouraging. It's a tremendous help. So you have a source to communicate about your needs and learn more about the medication. So you're giving us this critically important connection. Now, I certainly would not let you go without talking about your book. I always coming back to this, and I'm not the only one. In fact, I forgot to say this phrase: "Pull up the chair and let's have a conversation." I think something close to that, which you're suggesting in the beginning of this book. It's a very comfortable offer, even though conversation might be very challenging and very difficult. But the reason I like to talk about your book has perhaps not very direct connection to our conversation now, but it has a chapter which is written, I believe, by one of your either clients or friends, Dr. P.K. Shah and Dr. Richard Katz. And
right.
They're both
very esteemed physicians that are friends. They're not clients, they're friends.
They're friends, even better. They are talking actually about some human issues in the connection with the some disease and in a connection with some drugs and how it is all intertwined and playing a role in a human relationship. And the reason I'm bringing this up, because reading that chapter made me think that indeed decision about drug use, it's a family decision, because every family member needs to be aware what kind of a drug his whole loved one is taking, what kind of a side effects it might produce. If it is a certain amount, it has to be changed. In other words, it's a family issue, and it should be like a family issue. It should be very collective decision how to go about this. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would. I think the family members can be invaluable to patient's overall health by virtue of reporting things to doctors, making observations that the patient doesn't see themselves, making sure that medicine is administered correctly and not over-administered. Family members are crucial.
And in the conclusion, I wanted to ask you somewhat of a philosophical question. With all this, I would say, disproportion between tremendously important scientific accomplishments, which in fact you just talked about a few seconds ago, and somewhat still desperation to get benefits of it, how do you see the science will meet a human needs?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear the last part. How will I see the...
Yes, I will repeat this again. How do you feel the science and all this fantastic scientific progress and understanding of new drugs will meet a human needs?
Well, if I'm understanding you correctly, I mean, there will be a continuous evolution of this process where, humans are advancing science and medicine to the point where patients all over the world will be touched, affected by. Medical care will continue to improve. It's not going to get worse. It's just that the administration of it causes problems many times. But overall, the science will continue to advance, I think, at a rate that will just be astronomical.
I'm so glad to hear your optimistic view that it is not going to get worse. It's hard to imagine to have more complications, but it is very important to have your voice, your vision, your experience with this obviously complicated issue. Mark, I wanted to thank you very much for your input. Just tremendous admiration for your seems to be endless knowledge and endless ability to help, to bring information. Your reputation helps to convince people and to make their own decisions in quite a difficult economic times we're living in. So I wanted to thank you. I wanted to wish you a meaningful holiday time for you, for your family, and hopefully, if you will have some time, maybe we will continue conversation about Obamacare, and if it will be some new advancements, perhaps if you will find the time, we will be welcome you back.
Well, I'd be more than happy to do that, and you know, I hope that you and your family have a very happy holiday season as well.
Thank you very much, and I will continue with the promised information regarding the sites, which will be posted perhaps later this evening or tomorrow morning for sure. And these sites especially are important for elderly who need medication information and a reliable source to get a prescriptions, drug prescriptions, and also drugs which might come from abroad. It will be a wonderful source for you to trust, to orient yourself, and to take it as a regular guidance. So the number one, the name of that organization is Medical Alert System from Life Station. And I will say, I will repeat telephone number two times. It's 1-866-327-2495. I will repeat this again. 1-866-327-2495. The other program is EPIC, EPIC. Again, it's a capital E, capital P, capital I, and capital C. The third company is Elderly Pharmaceutical Insurance Coverage Program. I think my guest, Mark Barandes, was referring to similar organization. And please don't hesitate and get in touch with this one, particularly, again, for elderly population. It's Elderly Pharmaceutical Insurance Coverage Program. And then the last one is article, which I think will be very helpful to all of you. It is in New Times newspaper. It's online in opinion page. And the article has to do with the cost and with some issues which we were discussing this in this program. So it's called As Drug Costs Rise, Bending the Law is Our One Remedy. I literally reading that, and I will do it again. I will do a little better job than I just did. It's As Drug Costs Rise, Bending the Law is One Remedy, meaning that with the cost going up, the law of administrating those drugs are getting weaker. And that has to do with certainly experience with some Canadian drugs and some other drugs which are coming from many countries and they are not legal. I will think that I will stop on this note. I think there's a lot of thing to comprehend, and I wanted to thank you all for your patience. The air transmission was not the best. We did have some breaks, but I think still the quality of information and relevance of it is helpful to all. And on this note, we will be concluding with some musical message. I wanted to thank you all. That was Lena Mirmont with Lena Live Show. Until next time, thank you for listening. Thank you for joining me, and try to stay healthy.